Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, really, really glad to have you. So I'm going to ask listeners, what are your thoughts when you hear the words V-Day? What does that mean to you? Does it mean Valentine's Day, which I've noticed on all the hashtags on Twitter, that seems to be coming up quite a bit? Or is it something more important, which globally women and men are embracing, which is something that's been going around for quite a while now, thanks to the wonderful, the amazing Eve Ensler, who created the play, which you may be familiar with this one, The Vagina Monologues. And what's really exciting is actually here in our own city, we've actually got a couple productions of her plays going on at UBC on campus for the UBC V-Day. And it's very exciting that's happening coming up next week from the 15th to the 18th. Whoops, I'm lying. The 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th and 18th. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Okay, because there's two different plays. And I'm really excited about this. So I've got a couple of the coordinators from the show on in the booth with me right now. And for those of you who do not know what V-Day is, I'm pretty excited to, we'll be chatting about that and you'll get to find out. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
And so I've got the lovely Winnie Sun and I've got Fernanda Fukunani. As I attempt, please correct me in how to pronounce your name.
Fukumati.
Fukumati. Please forgive me.
That's okay. No.
So tell me about V-Day. What is it exactly? In your words.
In our words. Well, V-Day is a large, very large international organization that focuses on ending violence against women through mostly artistic forms. So theater was the two plays, but they also do a lot of workshops and other kind of promotions to ending violence, to spread the, to raise awareness, basically.
It's really important because one out of three women worldwide have dealt with sexual violence before the age of 18, and right. I believe it's one out of six men, according to Amnesty International. Mm-hmm. So the stats are pretty high. So I guess there's three of us here, so that could be one of us, and it's kind of shocking when you think about it in those terms, just how much it happens. It's basically an epidemic worldwide.
It is, yeah.
It's really scary. And in regards to the two plays, many people have heard of The Vagina Monologue, so for those people who have not heard about it, how would you describe it?
Well, it's a series of monologues written by Eve Ensler, and the monologues are based on interviews that Eve Ensler did with, I think, over 200 women.
Wow. That's yeah. a lot of interviews.
It is, yeah. And so the monologues range from funny to more serious, and it's all about women's experiences as women told through the experiences of their vaginas.
It's kind of wild. I've actually seen the video of her doing it as a one-woman play. Mm-hmm. So how is it different seeing it with lots of women? Because I know you've done it for several times. I know mm-hmm. we were in our pre-show chat, Fernanda, you were mentioning that you did it in Queens, as well as you've participated several times in UBC productions, too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it's always different. I've participated personally in, I guess three shows and volunteering on another show as well, and every time you get a different group of women together, it's a completely different show. You know, it's the same stories, but every actor brings their own take to it, and it just really shows how there can be this variety of perspectives on the one issue.
What are some of the really unusual ones you've seen just over the course, like, of a specific monologue that was taken so differently that where you're like, wow, I had no idea it could be done that way, if there was a moment like that?
I'm sure I could think of lots if I rack my brain. I can think of, like, one off the top of my head, because the first time I did it, I did My Angry Vagina. Mm. And then I've seen My Angry Vagina done a couple of times over the years, and then this year in our show, I cast two girls in it, so it's I kind of broke it up so that it's actually a conversation between two friends, as opposed to a monologue. So it's interesting how that, like, you know, it could be a rant and it could be like two friends, you know, ranting together, and it's just kind of, again, like same text but totally different take on it.
That's really cool.
Another one that comes to mind too is The Woman Who Loved to Make Vaginas Happy.
Yeah. The Moaner.
Yeah. That one can be really different. And, you know, I've seen it done with, like, a really, like, hyper-feminine dominatrix type of persona. I've seen it done by more of, like, a butch lesbian kind of take on it. And, again, totally different experiences of the same piece.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Winnie?
For the vagina monologues, for the moaners, I've actually seen, because there's about like 15 different moans, I've seen a production where it was 15 different women each day doing one kind of moan, so that was also really, really different. The vagina monologues, there are certain pieces that have to be performed every year, and there are certain other ones that can be chosen from year to year, so depending on the production, depending on what we see from the cast, the piece which is different are different too, so it changes from year to year.
And is it fact or fiction? I was always wondering about this, because each year, and for listeners where you may be listening and wondering, what does this have to do with fundraising? Well, what's really cool is Evensler, and please jump in, ladies, if I've got this wrong, basically waives the rights where people can apply for a certain license to perform the play. At no cost, on the condition that the proceeds raised usually go to an international organization that is making change for women, and then specifically several local ones as well.
Mm-hmm. That's totally fact. Actually, internationally, all over the world, there's... I know in 2011 that there were 5,800 different community organizations that are putting on either plays or other kind of events by, like, it's already pre-planned by V-Day. Mm-hmm. So everyone just do what we do. We just apply online, set up an account, and you just go on with it. And at the very end, whatever you collected, 10% goes to V-Day. And yeah, you don't have to pay them for any rights for the text or any of their material.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. What's the international cause this year?
For the second year in a row, I believe, it's Haiti. Yeah. And, because ever since the earthquake, along with all the devastation, there's been increased rates of sexual violence against women and girls in Haiti, especially in the refugee camps. It's just a high-risk environment for women there, so there's a lot of extra support and assistance that's needed.
Did she create a specific monologue about that?
She did.
That's what I thought, because it always reminds me of every time I've seen it, it's been different, and sometimes there's a specific monologue that kind of highlights just some of the things that come up. So I'm thinking one year I saw it where the money was going to the Comfort Women during the Second World War, who were forced into prostitution for some of the soldiers, and just where they're demanding an apology from the Japanese government. And then there's other ones just throughout over time. Crooked Braid, which I'm not sure where the monies went to that year, but that was a really powerful one about the Aboriginal community. If I remember correctly, it's Dakota or somewhere in the States. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every year there's a spotlight piece, and the spotlight piece is picked based on the current event that happened in that year. So that's why Haiti has been 2 years in a row for 2011 and 2012. But in previous years, it has always been something that happened in that year that they choose to focus.
Yeah. Wow. Locally, what are the charities that you've chosen?
This year we have chosen the Sexual Assault Support Center here on campus.
Which I think is fantastic, because I know we were chatting in the green room about the fact that they also provide services for men who have been sexually abused as well as women.
Yeah, it's open to all genders.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. It's really important.
And they recently used to run 7 days a week, and it's almost entirely run by volunteers.
Wow.
But this year, recently, in September, when they reopened, their funding was cut dramatically. So now they can only open 2 days a week, and they are having trouble to even get volunteers to come. So that's why we're trying to kind of fill that void that's left by the lack of funding.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really scary, actually.
Yeah.
I can remember in the late 80s, and I'm so dating myself right now, but in general campus, sometimes there was sexual violence in general. Like, you go to a party, mm-hmm. and you never know, like, if somebody's going to put something in your drink, or, you know, what really means, what is actually no, mm-hmm. and just actually all those things. And there were just so many cases of things that have happened, mm-hmm. especially if alcohol's involved. But even if it isn't, just walking, for say, to the bus or to your car after class at night, it's late, it's dark, it's creepy. All those things are so important, too. It's nice, because one of the things I've loved about the Sexual Assault Center is they've got the walking program where they'll actually walk you to your car just to be safe, because it can be really scary, especially at UBC where we're in the middle of a moderate rainforest, I like to think of us. Where it is, there's a lot of trees here.
Yeah, especially towards a lot of the more far away residences, it's very, very, very dark.
Yeah.
And that being said, also, you know, to keep in mind how common sexual assault is, well, you know, date rape, even if it's not a dark corner, it's happening, you know, in parties full of people, you know, just with other people around, and on dates, so.
And it's scary because we don't think about it. Sometimes we think that rape is only with strangers, but mm-hmm. most of the time it's with somebody we know.
Yeah.
We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we are going to be chatting a little bit more about different types of sexual assault and just how to keep yourself safe, and possibly some vagina facts. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back after I can find the ad that I'm supposed to be playing.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Pride UBC presents Out Week 2012 from February 6th through the 15th. Out Week promises to bring you the most relevant workshops on human sexuality, cultural events, and a fabulous queer prom banquet on Friday the 10th. Come out and join Pride UBC as they kick off the week with an exciting rainbow flag-raising event Monday, February 6th at noon at the flagpole north of the sub. Check out the full list of events at outweek.prideubc.com.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
Here's what to look for this February in Discorder. Grimes both graces the cover of Discorder for February and will also touch down in the city as she's on tour in support of her newest release, Visions. Inside Discorder, don't miss the feature piece on Rococode. Features on our Shindig winners, Sleuth, Tyrannohorse, and From Birch to You, and a special piece on Redrick Sultan. As always, Discorder is loaded with concert and album reviews, the next installment of The Overeducated Grumbler, and a profile on The Basement's Brett Olson in the monthly On the Air column. All this and more in the February issue of Discorder. Grab a free copy of Discorder anywhere on UBC campus, in and around Vancouver, BC, or online at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, supporting local music for over 25 years.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Harry Jerome was born in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan in 1940 and was raised in North Vancouver. Jerome set the standard for the world's fastest man and went on to win a bronze medal at the 1964 Olympics after suffering a career-threatening injury. But his comeback wasn't the only challenge he rose against. Jerome was an outspoken critic of the way African Canadians were misrepresented in Canadian media and fought to remove wage discrimination barriers. He questioned the lack of black catalog models and clerks in major department stores. Jerome not only revolutionized the sport of track and field, but was also named BC's Athlete of the Century and received the Order of Canada. Today, there is a statue in his honor along the seawall in Stanley Park.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.
And we're back in Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. So if you're just joining us now, we are talking about the UBC V-Day initiative, which is it's already started because I think V-Day is should be 365 days a year. But in regards to raising much needed money, especially for the Sexual Assault Center on campus and Wish Drop-In Center and PACE, which we forgot to touch on. I'm bad in the first half. They're going to be raising that through all sorts of really great things, including the production of the Vagina Monologues, which we will be giving tickets away later on. You'll have to stay tuned and keep tweeting stuff that you're hearing at Sexy and Van City at UBC V-Day. So tweet stuff about what you're hearing on the show, and you'll be entered to win, and you just might win tickets. We've also got a second one that we don't hear about as much, which is a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer, which I actually didn't know about that one.
Yeah, a lot of people actually think that a memory monologue or random prayer was a subtitle to the vagina monologues. It's kind of the vagina monologues, a memory monologue, random prayer, and to the violence end. But it's actually an entire separate show. This one was edited and compiled together by Eve Ensler and Molly Doyle. But it's written by, it has contribution from authors all around the world. And there's some big names, including Alice Walker, Howard Zinn, Nicholas Kristoff, and Michael Eric Dyson. And Jen Fonda, just like some of the names. But it's a huge book. It's a collection of memories and rants and prayers. And it's kind of the same similar format as the vagina monologue, where it's monologues mostly being performed, but there are a few group pieces, and the topic is just slightly more. There's sort of a slightly wider range of topics as for the vagina monologues, but yeah, it's a separate show.
And is the flavor of the show different?
I would say yeah. It's very. Wow. Vagina monologue, how would you describe it? It's more like funny, provocative in like a fun vibe kind of way. Whereas MERP, as we call it, because it's too long of a name, it talks about more like violence against women. It has issues of rape, sexual slavery, sexual assault, but it's also like the stories are so different, and there's such a, it goes from like a teenage girl wanting to look like a cover girl to issues of self-image that's so common to everyone, to issues as war slave in Rwanda and people running away from civil war. So it's really, really different, and it's great because we hear perspectives from male, female authors, from international authors, whereas the Vagina Monologues is written by Eve Ensler herself. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's a lot more serious, but it also has some funny pieces to it. It's more emotionally teasing, I would say.
It's really moving. It's a really moving piece of theater. And we've included quite a bit of music in it this year, too. So,
yeah, the musicians have been doing a great job.
Yeah.
Music sounds really good. Tell me a bit more about that.
About the music? I don't know. Well, we have, amongst our cast, we have musicians who have, one of them wrote an original piece based on one of the monologues in A Memory Monologue, Rant and a Prayer. It's called I Can Hear My Soul Cracking.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, only the title standing alone, it's very shocking.
Yeah.
I can tell the story that when I was selecting the piece, because we also have more freedom to pick the piece that we want to perform.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 150 pages of a book, of a script, and we can pick out of that a few of them to perform in our show. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading through that, I was reading I Can Hear My Soul Cracking in a coffee shop, and I just started crying by myself sitting in the coffee shop. Wow. So that one is definitely one of the most intense one, and I think our musician, Jenna, felt really attached to the piece as well, and then she wrote this beautiful song that she's going to be performing right after the monologue on stage.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool how you can incorporate different pieces that are created as well as the ones that are in the book. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Violence Against Women is pretty intense, and as we said earlier, one out of three women, and there are a lot of things that sometimes we can do because... And what are some of the things that we can do just in regards to taking care of ourselves, taking care of each other, so things don't happen? Mm-hmm. Even though you can never control it, because life is life is life. And I also want to reiterate that, because many women who have experienced sexual violence blame themselves sometimes. And
oh, yeah, that's really common. I think there's a lot that we can do as women. I think... it's also really important to acknowledge in terms of prevention that we go to the root of the problem, which is, you know, preventing sexual violence from happening in the first place. And that involves targeting men, you know, asking why do men rape, why do men assault women in the first place? Because while we can do things to protect ourselves, that kind of idea can also reinforce that sort of victim blaming.
Yeah, I think we both attended the lecture by Dr. Jackson Katz a few weeks ago when he came to speak at UBC, and he made a really great point at a lot of the things that we teach young women and girls to do is, you know, don't go out late or don't dress a certain way, but he calls it more of a risk reduction instead of prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would, a part of V-Day is really about raising the awareness with everyone and
men and women
and people in different social situations and different status.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, we can help each other too by, you know, I think one great thing about V-Day is that it's really empowering. You know, what we're doing here is not just about the audiences that we're reaching. It's not just about the organizations that we're helping out with their funding, but even just for our cast, you know, that's been such a big focus of ours throughout this process has been to foster a safe space for our cast. You know, it's been more than just theater rehearsal. It's been pretty healing, I think, for a lot of people. So that kind of, I think, sharing safe spaces with women and sharing our stories with other women and helping each other on that way is really empowering.
I think so too, because I think sometimes sexual abuse, sexual assault, sexual violence, it can be isolating.
Yeah.
And by creating safe spaces where people are able to connect, it's a really beautiful thing.
And I think especially with the V-Day organization, they try to get as many people involved as possible. There's different programs that we can do. And also the coordinators cannot... supposed to coordinate 2 years in a row because we want to get as many people involved as possible. Mm-hmm. And just being part of this movement in different roles can...
Well, it can make you grow as an individual as well, which can be really powerful.
Absolutely.
How has being involved with V-Day, because both of you have done it more than once, so what is it that... How has it changed you?
So much. I can say definitely when I heard, so we mentioned before that I first heard one of the monologue alone outside the school cafeteria. My friend kind of just saw that she was in performing, she was studying performing arts. She kind of just pulled me over by the side of the lunch table and be like, I'm going to tell you something. So she just told me one of the monologue because he liked to look at it, Bob in the Vagina Monologues, and I was so shocked. I loved it, but I was so shocked, and I was definitely one of the girls who for the longest time couldn't even say the word vagina. I just like, and I practiced as I was trying to get her to perform this in front of the school. But I think definitely for the 2 years now, we've been screaming vagina chocolates or like vagina monologues outside the sub. So it's been a very, very good trip for my personal growth, for sure.
Cool. How about you?
Well, the first time I got involved with V-Day was at Queen's University. I was in my second year of university, and I was... I guess 19, and I think that was such an important time in my life to have an experience like V-Day, because I think it was the first time I'd ever really been in that kind of space where I was encouraged to think about how my gender affects my life and how, you know, growing up in this society has affected my relationship to my body and my agency and my sexuality. And so it was really empowering, and I grew a lot through that process. I remember it was really, I just remember feeling really like wide-eyed throughout the whole thing, you know, like all these amazing badass women talking about vaginas and just something happened there for me, you know. And then over the years, it's just been interesting to see how it's, you know, it's been different. When I was a little older, I did it again here at UBC, and it was really important at that time to have like a safe space, and then this time around helping to organize it has been really empowering too, to see that I can, you know, make change and do things as an activist.
Yeah. How did you decide which organizations to support this year? Is it done by a committee, or is it done at the beginning from a steering committee?
Well, we kind of followed our tradition a little bit. So SASC, WISH has been our beneficiary for the past few recent years. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we continuously wanted to fund.
Yeah. And PACE was endangered this year as well, as was SASC. So we wanted to really help out organizations that were specifically, in need more than usual at this time. So.
Wow, and for people out there who may, our listeners who may not know what WISH is or PACE, did you want to talk about that a bit? For both, because both organizations are different, even though they both work with sex workers. WISH in particular is survival sex workers, mm-hmm. and PACE mainly, but there is a bit of a mix as mm-hmm. well, because they'll work with women who are escorts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and WISH, the WISH Drop-In Center also works specifically with female survival sex workers. The Drop-In Center offers various services. It has a safe space for workers that they're aiming to, you know, get it to be open 24/7, where sex workers can come in for meals and like to have their basic needs met, and can access nursing care and referrals to detox centers and rehabilitation houses and different services like that. Which also partners with a couple of different organizations. And PACE does a lot of advocacy work, and they have different support services for survival sex workers. And they work with men as well.
And they've also got the Mobile Access Project as well, which they share between the two of them, mm-hmm. which is the MAP van, which listeners out there, you may have heard of a few years ago, where they... did get their funding cut, but through all the rallying, people gathered together in the streets, rallied the women themselves, other community members, and participated. It was actually really cool. And the funding ended up getting reinstated, but that was a partnership originally proposed by the city. And mm-hmm. then through that, the agencies took ownership, which was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to get out of this? Like at the end of, on basically... the 19th of February, mm-hmm. At the end of everything, because the 18th is the last show for both productions. What would you like to, when you wake up that morning, what would you like to feel? And that, what would you like to get out of this?
That we've impacted people. We're pretty confident that we have brought something special for our cast members, and hopefully, like, I think one of my biggest goals, something that's constantly in my mind, is for the cast member to feel that they have been empowered, that they have a new perspective, that they are more confident just being, living in the society, and also the audience members to go home with something to think about.
How about you?
I guess similar to what Winnie said. Yeah. I agree with a lot of that, of what she said. And yeah, just kind of, you know, spreading the word about the movement is a big one. It's just nice to, it would be nice to know that we've contributed to that sort of chain effect of, of change. We don't know what every individual audience member is going to take away from the performances and how that might affect, you know, what they decide to do with their,
Yeah, and it's also one of V-Day's core beliefs that they say when ordinary people do extraordinary things, that's when lasting social change occurs. Mm-hmm. And I think we are all pretty like just average folks, and people in the audience are just people we meet daily everywhere we go. So I think if we're able to change their view or to give them a new perspective, then that will be the lasting change that V-Day is going for as well. Mm-hmm.
Worldwide, what do you think, in terms of some of the initiatives that have happened over the years? Like, there's Haiti for the last 2 years this year, and the last, there's been the Comfort Women in the Congo as well. There's been a lot of different ones. Were there any that really just kind of hit home big time when you heard about them, regardless whether or not it was when you were in a production before, like where it just kind of just got you?
I think, again, the first year I was involved was the year that the spotlight was on the Comfort Women in Japan. And I think that was the first I had ever even heard of that whole history of the Comfort Women. And it really impacted me. And I continued to, you know, follow the story and what was happening with the Japanese government in response to their, you know, demand for an apology and for recognition. Yeah. Everyone really... impacted me.
I think for me, it's not so much a spotlight or one of the V-Day's annual focus, but it's more their most recent campaign. They have two recent ones that are, I don't think they're plays, but they are more just compilations of monologues. And one of them is "What I Want My Words Do to You," words from the prison. So Eve Ensler did these writing workshops and went into prisons and talked to these women with various different background and history, and had them write down their experience and teaching them how to write and expressing that as their own monologues. And she collected them and made this separate book. Wow. And I think she also shot a mini documentary with them. So it's another event that people all over the world can decide to run. But that one, I just thought that it's very courageous for her to stand up for people who are bluntly marginalized. And giving them like a form of expression that seems really, really cool.
Especially because women who find themselves in prison are so often victims or survivors of violence themselves.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there, you know, in terms of like cycles of violence and recognizing that these are people that we can learn a lot from and who really need to have their stories heard and empathized with.
And I think it's really important too. I know the Elizabeth Fry Society used to have a poster where 90% of women who have been incarcerated have dealt with sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
before the age of 18, and I'm not sure if that's just in BC, because I imagine just stat-wise that it would have most been likely been a study that they'd commissioned, but I'm not sure with worldwide what the stats are for that.
Mm-hmm. But that's definitely one of the recent one that I thought was an amazing campaign. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She also had a second one tailored more towards teenage girls.
I'm an emotional girl.
Yes, that one. That's just such a smart choice. I feel too. Mm-hmm. We recently had a workshop that said the most important thing is, guess we're helping adults to kind of overcome all the things that they have been suppressed with, but it's better to start younger and targeting young women.
Definitely. Is there anything like this for guys that you know of?
Well, that's the great thing about a memory monologue around a prayer. It is, it's written to have a mixed cast.
And do you have a mixed cast for that one?
This year, unfortunately, we couldn't cast any male actors. So if anyone's listening and they want to be part of this project, we would be so, so happy to cast them in next year's MERP. But we had a really hard time to cast male actors this year. As I mentioned, MERP has a lot of pieces written by men, so they are meant to be performed by men. And so it is a more accepting mixed kind of play.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the details of them specifically, but I believe that V-Day International has some programs for men specifically.
Yeah, they have V-Girls and V-Men.
V-Men, yeah.
Nice. I've wondered about that because 1 out of 6 men worldwide have dealt with sexual violence before the age of 18 as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think part of to actually evoking solid change is having programming for them too. So I think that's fantastic. I know on a local level, there's been that have happened. For example, the Tri-City Women's Resource Center actually went through a legal name change last year, and they changed it to the Tri-City Resource Center because they found they were getting men in for the parenting classes, and through that, because they'd come in about their child, they were able to actually discuss some things that were for them I think for anybody very painful, but I think even though we live in the modern era, I think it's still hard for guys as well. It's hard for anybody to talk about, but I almost think our society isn't particularly permissive about allowing men to speak about their sexual violence that they've experienced, which makes it even more painful.
Definitely.
So in other words, we need to get everybody out of the closet.
Yeah, the member has a lot of monologues that talks about the violence against women or violence in families from a male perspective. Mm-hmm. The one I can think of top of my head is Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. He wrote a monologue that's about how he viewed violence. So there's definitely a lot of strong pieces in MERP. Mm-hmm. And V-Men, from what I know of it, it's men going into, obviously they share their stories online, but they also go into different communities to talk about it.
Nice.
So they kind of serve as the little leaders as well.
Wow. When I was speaking to Diana, who's involved with production earlier, I was curious, but she said she'd never heard of it before, so I wanted to double check. Do you still honor women warriors, like vagina warriors, or not as part of the production?
We do.
You do? Yeah. Okay. Anybody that we know of for this year yet, or not yet?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we're talking. Well, it's probably the same idea, but when you said vagina warriors, I thought of, we talk with the cast about who their personal vagina warriors are.
Okay.
But it sounds like you're referring to maybe like a more formal acknowledgement of someone in the community or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
They used to do that for the production here. There was another someone who's got the rights for the vagina monologues in Surrey, but it's a community production as opposed to 3-day where it's the university or college version.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that as well, where they actually had them come up on stage during the intermission, right before the beginning of the second half of the show. Cool. And actually honored them, just gave them basically a certificate kind of thing. And they just had them say a few words really quickly, less than 2 minutes kind of thing.
Hmm. But oh, it's just that's curious. Really awesome. We will definitely think about that. And,
for next year.
And pass it on to next year's coordinators for sure. Mm-hmm.
If there was something in regards to monologues that you would like everybody to know about, what would that be? Either a play.
If there was something...
That you'd want everybody to know about. Like, so say you meet somebody that you're online and you're in a chat room or you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you're having a conversation. Like, what is this? What is VDA? You know, what is the most important thing, do you think, that you'd want them to know? Like, in your words. So, like, why is it important to you? And how? What would be the best way to get that across from them?
I always just tell people in the most dramatic way I can that you will change your life. You will change the way you see things. And a lot of people, of course, say, oh, no, you don't know that. I don't even know. I was like, no, but I challenge you. Out of the 20-something piece we have, I'm almost positive that something will make you think, oh, I haven't thought about that before, or... Because especially with MERP, it's so, it's with both shows, that it's just so genuine. Mm-hmm. It's genuine things that most people are scared of saying, or they keep on thinking about it, but it's not formulated. And hearing that said on stage by someone else, you kind of go like, oh, that happens to all of us. And it's just so relatable.
Mm-hmm. So, about the vagina monologue specifically, I would say that, you know, if the mere title of the play still makes people uncomfortable or angry or just it makes people laugh, it elicits some kind of strong reaction. I think that is telling us something. That's telling us that we still need to hear these stories. We still need to kind of, you know, take the power out of that taboo.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is by sharing stories.
Yeah.
It was actually interesting you say that, because I was thinking that more for the MERP, where it's just like, it just sounds like it's heavy. So, but is it really heavy, or is it kind of a mix where, I know the Vagina Monologues has some great pieces, but there's also some heartbreakingly shattering pieces in there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the Vagina Monologues, because it's more well-known, it's easier to think of it as fun in spite of the heavier pieces. Mm-hmm. But A Memory Monologue, A Rant and a Prayer also has a lot of comedy, too.
Yeah, it has pretty hilarious pieces as well. And they touch on important issues and serious issues, but they are not necessarily in the most not the most uncomfortable delivery.
Mm-hmm. It's not like sensationalistic. It's not just talking about violence for the sake of talking about violence or anything like that. It's again really
it's not gratuitous.
Yeah, really beautiful.
It won't be like
different
people on stage screaming at you for 2 hours. No, it just feels really true. Like most emotions that we go through, they go through. You see the actors, you see the characters change on stage as they go from just normal, feeling like telling a funny story, to feeling really down all of a sudden. So it's not so, it's more for, there's more to think about.
Yeah.
It won't leave you completely shattered again. Like,
okay, I was wondering about that. Well, we're going to take a really quick short break. And for listeners out there, if you want to keep retweeting, talking about stuff you're hearing on the show, you might get an opportunity to win some tickets to the Vagina Monologues or possibly and with MERP. So that sounds like a pretty cool package. So you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
WCCFT. West Coast College. Their new 20-month program is set to launch in May, so not only will you be receiving the best massage therapy education in the world, but you'll also be working faster as a registered massage therapist. Start a meaningful career and enjoy an almost 100% employment rate. Get more details today on how to become a registered massage therapist in only 20 months. WCCMT. Visit collegeofmassage.com.
School feels so hectic right now. I really need a break.
Do you ever wonder if traveling can actually enhance your education?
Yeah. How?
Easy. With the Study and Go Abroad Fair, you can find information on semesters or degree programs abroad, working, volunteering, and even adventure travel.
Just what I need, when and where.
March 1st at the Vancouver Convention Center. Doors are at 3, but guest speakers start at 2. Admission is free, and you'll be entered to win a trip to Guatemala, Peru, or even an iPad.
What's the website?
Go to studyandgoabroad.com for more information and to pre-register.
And we're back at Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And I've heard that we've got 400 seats for you to put your tush in so you can watch MERP. And for those of you who didn't catch in for the beginning of the show, a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer. And the Vagina Monologues, which are two separate productions, so you don't need to worry about having to be really super tired and watching it all in one blast, because there's a break in between and there's
different dates,
which is perfect.
Yeah, they're not even
so MERP opens on Valentine's Day, and then the next day on February 15th the Vagina Monologue opens, and we run 4 or 5 days until the 18th on alternating nights.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And the Saturday, the last day, which is the 18th, it's MERP closes the matinee, and then Vagina Monologues in the evening. So you could do a double feature on that Saturday, or you could come on
separate
nights.
So listeners out there, I hope you're tweeting and retweeting, or if you're on Facebook, please put a comment on our Sexy in Van City page. And we actually, before the show, just created a V-Day, UBC V-Day page as well. I'm just not sure of the actual title for that yet, because I think you need a 25 followers before you can actually own it, where it's like facebook.com/UBC V-Day. So hopefully we'll get more people liking that as well, but please keep sharing, and you might be able to win. We'll let everybody know tomorrow who actually wins the tickets, which would be really super cool. And it's a great opportunity to see a lot of work, and we encourage you, please spread the word. That's probably one of the easiest ways to do this. So tweet about the show, share it on Facebook, like the Facebook page, all of that stuff. And of course, buy tickets, because that's really, really key too. And come check out MERP, check out the Vagina Monologues. I think it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. And they can buy tickets. We're selling outside the sub tomorrow and next Monday. And you can also purchase them anytime on brownpapertickets.com. Mm-hmm.
You can also get them at the Outpost.
The outpost in the sub.
On campus.
And if you're interested in bringing a group, whether it's a class or a club or something like that, we do also offer group discounts.
Yeah.
Nice.
And for that, you would email us at ubcvday@gmail.com.
And no spamming, people. Yeah, no vagina pic. Well, I don't know. Vagina pictures.
I think they'd be welcome.
I saw pictures of people dressed up in vagina costumes. Was that my imagination, or was there a video that you guys have created called
Shit Vagina Say?
Yeah, that's us.
And on Twitter, somebody had actually posted a link to your video to Ellen DeGeneres, which I thought was pretty trippy, so we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Yeah, we're very proud of that video, actually.
So for those who let's imagine that everybody cannot see, so hence the radio, how would you describe the video?
Vagina say?
It's
is it after
puns?
It's someone in a vulva suit. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are familiar with the shit blank say meme, it's different things that a vagina would say, but it's punny.
Yeah.
Because it's not literal. Should I give an example?
Yeah, give an example.
Okay, so we have the girl in the vulva suit, and she's outside in the rain, and she says, "I'm wet."
I'm so wet. Yeah, or like she would do, she would be writing an exam, and at the end of the exam, the teacher is pulling the exam sheet away from her, and she's grabbing onto him, like, no, please let me finish. So it's various things like that, and it's 3 minutes of wonderful puns, and it's a life-size, well, it's not a life-size vagina, but it's a person.
Human-size.
Yeah, it's a human-size vagina.
It's a walking vulva.
Vulva.
And I always found that interesting. And do you know, because I don't know, why she called it the vagina monologues? Was it because it's a word that everybody knows?
That's a good question. I don't know why she went with vagina as opposed to vulva.
Because it is the vulva, essentially. Most of the monologues are about the vulva. Or is it because, as women, when she interviewed those 200 women, we don't know what is a vagina, that it is actually the tube that's up inside as opposed to the vulva, which is the outside part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
And I won't use words like coochie snorcher. Yeah. Were there some words in there that kind of threw you off when about what people described down there as?
Oh, yeah. There's some really funny ones in vagina monologues.
Yeah, there were so many that I'd never even heard of before. Like, I don't know, pee-pee, peepaloo, labe.
Yeah, they have this
the
part.
The dugout.
The what? Yeah,
the dugout.
Well, that's right, the nappy dugout. So.
Yeah, I don't even understand.
Yeah, there's some really funny one. There's like a section in vagina monologue where it's devoted to that, and they go by geographical areas too. So that in New Jersey, they call it this.
Every year we have our special Vancouver and UBC specific names or euphemisms for the vulva. So something to look forward to in the show.
Okay, this one's a favorite one. What is your favorite moan? And if you want to do it, let me know. I'll just lower the volume on this. Because that's got to be one of the best ones. So.
Oh, well, I wish we had our moaner here.
Yeah, she is. This year, the moaner is phenomenal.
Julia did it before, didn't you? Oh, no, you did it.
Yeah.
Very well.
Thank you. Hans von Claus is in, who does a misery hour, which he heard the part about moaning, and I am a good moaner, I've been told. So. Which are your favorite moans?
Oh man, they're all my favorites.
Yeah, they're so good.
See, that's the thing. It depends on the actor.
It depends on who's doing it.
People will come up with such creative things for the moans, and I mean, I guess my easy go-to answer would be, I mean, it's obvious, but the surprise triple orgasm moan. The epic climax of climaxes. So.
Yeah.
I can't, no. Not here, not now. Winnie?
I probably would not be able to pull off that moan. That is very physically straining. Even when we do rehearsals, I feel sometimes the moaner gets tired. It's like, only for the show.
I could do it, but I'm just not going to do it here.
Are you sure?
Do you want to do it?
Do you want me to do it?
I'd love for you to.
Can we dig it out?
No, you can stay here, Hans. If as soon as I see your shoes, I'll probably start moaning. He's got, like, the best shows. Special. He says it's nothing special tonight. Okay, here we go.
Can I ask you a question?
The woman who likes to moan, what would you like to ask?
Moaning. Is it really natural or is it just... Because, you know, I've been on the Zerg for a while and I could never figure it out. Is that all fake or is that really necessary, the moaning?
Oh, it's real.
It's real.
It's real.
Oh, yeah.
If some... Well,
be
the one...
I'm with you, it never turned me on.
Oh.
It kind of always turned me off. I don't know why.
I think if it's not coming from an authentic place, because if you think about it, if you pee and you've had to pee really badly and you've been holding for a really long time, it's a small moan where it's almost like, where it's quiet, right? But or it can be like a full on moan.
That's what I find more sexy this way, but I don't know.
The peeing or the okay,
you know, a little bit too much up high with the voice is just kind of.
Maybe it's
there's different styles.
Maybe it probably was fake. You know, trust your intuition on that.
No, but you know, it happened to me more than a dozen times, and I kind of never could get used to it.
Mm.
It's I'm sorry, but since you talk about it, that's what I ask.
No, it's a very valid question, listeners out there. Do you like moaning or do you hate moaning? So don't forget to retweet and say things about stuff because you could win tickets. So Dare we do a triple threat moon to end the show?
I vote yes.
Yeah?
Sure. Says?
Okay. Here we go. Oh my God. I'm out of breath, actually. That really was a workout.
Wow.
So, listeners out there, to celebrate V-Day, some easy ways you can do it. Number one, join their Facebook page. Two, donate some money. Three, get involved in some way, shape, or form. Go see the show. Spread the word to all your friends. Mm-hmm. Start following them at UBC V-Day. Join the Facebook page. And encourage people to come see the show and start talking about it. Go at chapters. Go check out. Take the books out of the library. I think it's really important.
Definitely.
Any last couple words as we're just wrapping up the show?
Just come out and support our actresses and see that amazing moan I performed live in person.
And not by me. So.
Yeah. Thanks for I guess if you're
thank you so much
for your interest in the cause. It's really important, and the more people who care and help out, better.
Thank you. Well, I think it's a worldwide phenomenon, and I like the fact that it's local and it's international. Wow, I think I actually lost my voice a little bit there. So I didn't use my back muscles and squeeze my Kegels, but it's a whole other conversation. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio. So again, check out for V-Day. You can go to brownpapertickets.com to go and check out to buy tickets. It's going to be at the Freddie Wood Theater, and it's from the 14th to the 18th, different days, three performances for each show. And so that's for MERP, which for those of you who didn't tune in at the beginning, it's a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer to stop violence against girls and women. And as well as that, the vagina monologues as well. And again, to stop violence against women and girls. And of course, men as well. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, and I hope you're able to hear our conversation with Hans von Claus, the lovely Marion, where we're talking about moaning, because we're having this wonderful conversation. I hope that got caught on the mics. But he is up next with Hans von Claus's Misery Hour, which is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He will be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice and his awesome shoes. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, and until next week. Happy V-Day.
WCCFT West Coast College.
Their new 20-month program is set to launch in May, so not only will you be receiving the best massage therapy education in the world, but you'll also be working faster as a registered massage therapist. Start a meaningful career and enjoy an almost 100% employment rate. Get more details today on how to become a registered massage therapist in only 20 months.
WCCMT.
Visit collegeofmassage.com.
Tune in to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a 14-hour cross-Canada live broadcast on housing and homeless issues. Housing is a right.
There's no excuse why there should be homelessness, and there's no excuse why people should be going hungry in the city of Montreal.
The Homelessness Marathon will be broadcast on over 30 campus community radio stations across Canada. Tune in to your local station from sundown to sunup, from February 22nd to the 23rd, 2012. Or go to ckut.ca/homeless to listen online. For more information or to participate, contact marathon@ckut.ca.
I'm here to make it known that all peoples, especially the street peoples, have...